at the church say amen. Anywhere that Christ is near or Christ is there. So be thankful that God is here with us today, church. And I wish I could answer where everybody is at today. But I don't know. But God does. So thank God for those of us that are here. We didn't let the little snow keep us away. We didn't let the weather keep us away. We just came out to worship, to serve the Lord and worship Him in spirit and in truth. This morning the scripture was read for your hearing from the book of Job, chapter 1, verses 6 and verse 7. As we reread that, the Bible says, "Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, Whence thou comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, From going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it." This morning we're going to talk for a little while about the Christian's number one enemy. The Christian's number one enemy. Let us take a moment and go to God in prayer firstly, though. O Lord, our God, our Heavenly Father, Lord, You know our hearts because You know us, because You made us. We thank You, O Lord, for blessing us to be able to come out today. We thank You for the snow that we may not like, but nevertheless, it's part of Your program for our weather. We thank You, O Heavenly Father, for the church being what it is, being built by who built it, and being served in it by those who worship God in spirit and in truth. We thank You, O Heavenly Father, for blessing each and every member that's here today. And if we have any visitors, for also blessing them to get out, to come out and be with us. Father, we thank You this morning for all of those who are here. We thank You for those who may be on their way, that they may get here safely and be securely brought together here with us all. Thank You, O Heavenly Father, and we pray for the sick and the shut in, those who are healing, those who are getting better, and those who are not doing as well. But we just thank You, Father, for Your healing touch, that it may touch each and every one of them. Father, we thank You for the leaders of this congregation as well as the membership. We thank You for all of the families in this congregation. And we pray and ask You to continue to bless us as we move forward, O Lord. We thank You, Lord, for everything that You have done for us, everything You shall do for us, and everything that You currently are doing for us. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, my Heavenly Father, for those who help us in our times of need. Thank You for those doctors, the nurses, the firefighters, the policemen, and all of those we come to rely upon from time to time. Thank You, Lord. Thank You for those who serve in our armed forces who are guarding the front lines for us, O Lord. And we pray that they may all soon be brought home and that this world might become a peaceful and a better place for us all to live in. Thank You, O Heavenly Father, for everything You do, but especially thank You for Jesus, who hung, bled, and died on yonder's cross that we may have the right to the tree of life. Thank You, Lord. In Your Son Jesus' name, we ask it all. Amen. The devil is the number one enemy to Christians everywhere. If there is one thing a Christian needs to remember, it's this. Satan is real. He is not an imaginary something. He is not an animated character, but he is real. He's really not going anywhere anytime soon either. Therefore, we need to learn of his ways and learn what defenses against him we have available to us. The one tool that should immediately come to mind is the Word of God. The Word of God in tells us in James 4 and verse number 7, "Submit yourselves, therefore, to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you." Here in the text, we see a good example of good and evil having a conversation. This represents a challenge for evil. God issued a challenge for evil, I should say. The Christian's number one enemy is twofold. It is Satan and sin. Sin is what separates us from God, and it's ongoing since the beginning of time. That's what Satan does. He brings out sin in people from the beginnings of time. It is the same for us today. Christ wants us to come to Him, and Satan wants us to become His. He wants to sift us. Satan is not any different today than he was at the beginning of time. He started his beginnings in Genesis chapter 3, where he deceived Eve. And he's been continually deceiving folk ever since. So what do we need to know? That number one, that Christ is truth. Jesus, as he spoke to his believers in John chapter 8, around verse number 31 and 32, he said, "If you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed." And verse 32 says, "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." One must accept the will of God in order to be His disciple. And when we become His disciples, we must be willing to know the truth. Christ only teaches truth. On the other hand, Satan is about deception. No one is too great for him to practice his deception on. He tried it on Eve in the Garden of Eden. He tried it on Jesus also. In 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 14, the Bible clearly defines who was deceived, and it was not Adam, but it was Eve. When we are fully dressed, we can resist the devil when we have our tools to fight with. He deceived Eve about himself as well as the Word of God. We are constantly being deceived by false advertisers, by salespeople who are not being truthful about what they're trying to sell us. They're telling us lies. And Satan is good at his job of deception, I should say. Satan is very good, and he's behind it all. He started out, he even tried to deceive Jesus in Matthew chapter 4, suggesting to Jesus, "Take these stones and turn them into bread." But Jesus did not fall prey to his deceptive advances. Neither should we. So the question becomes, how do we fight Satan? We fight him by the Word of God. As I already told you, resist the devil. The Bible tells us to resist the devil, and he will flee from you. The best thing we can do is to be prepared for him. In Ephesians, the 6th chapter, starting around verse number 13, the Bible says we are to be fully dressed, and then we'll be better equipped to fight and take a stand against Satan. This is why we are told to put on all the pieces of God's armor that we may withstand. Satan cannot penetrate our faith, so we should be able to stand when we become fully dressed in the whole armor of God. And some of us, when we get dressed, we got to be fully dressed. We got to put on the whole armor of God. Not just some pieces, but the entire armor of God. We need to dress up that we may resist the devil. The best thing we can do is put on that armor. And by putting on that whole armor of God, we may be fully prepared and ready for battle each and every day. You know, it's just a little while. We must decide who and what we choose. Truth or lies. The first part that we must do is to get prepared to stand against the distractions by laying aside every weight of sin. If it's not of Jesus, it must be of the devil. Then part two of that chapter, that scripture in Hebrews says, run with patience the race that is set before us. And we'll revisit this scripture in a minute. We all have this race to run. You either run it with Jesus, and Jesus will tell you how to run with Him through His Word. Or we run against Him with Satan. And I may as well throw this out. You can only shake your finger at God and defy God for a little while before something will bounce back on you. When you think about it, we've got to have patience to run this race. Patience because we are all facing difficulties and obstacles that are placed in our run by Satan. He wants us to give up and say, I can't take it anymore. He wants us to give up and say, I'll cross over. I'll come to your side. That's all He lives for. That's what He works for. That's what He does. That's what He does best. Deceives people. All we need to do is to trust in Jesus, keep our faith, and let Him know that Jesus, let Satan know that Jesus is the one who is ruling my life, not you. Jesus would have all men to be saved according to 1 Timothy 2 and chapter 4. 1 Timothy 2, verse number 4. Christ brings us together. When we look at our text for today, we find God and Satan in a conference regarding Satan's goings and comings. Let us look back at Job chapter 1 again in verses number 6. In verse number 7. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord. And Satan came also among them. You see, he infiltrates all of us. He tries to get in between God and us all the time. Verse number 7 said, And the Lord said unto Satan, Whence comest thou? Where you been, Satan? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, From going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. Satan is everywhere. Satan is all places all the time. And he can fool you into thinking that you are not doing wrong when in fact you are totally wrong. Notice the word of God back in that text in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Now, we've got a good description from the Word of God there on what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to, number one, lay us aside every weight and the sin which besets us. And then it tells us, let us run and have patience this race that is set before us. You know, it's difficult sometimes to have patience. Patience is something that all Christians ought to pray for, because you're going to run into some things that you're going to need patience with. It may be your wife, it may be your husband, it may be your kid. It may be your job, but we're going to run into some trouble somewhere, and we've got to have some patience. And patience can be given to us when we ask for it through prayer. When we ask the Lord to let us have patience, that means, Lord, I need your help. And you know something? Some of us are ashamed to ask for the Lord's help. And the reason I say that is because we don't think that the Lord can handle what He can handle, and we don't think that He knows what He's doing. That verse of Hebrews 12 and 1 teaches us to lay aside this sin. Everything that sin causes us is nothing but trouble. Everything that has become as dead weight, we must lay it aside against us doing the righteous. And move it out of the way. We've got a race to run, folks. And we don't need any excess baggage. Only the Word of God. You know, when I think about the baggage that some of us carry, the baggage that some of us are carrying around with us each and every day, I think about how much trouble we can avoid if we just go to God in prayer, God can cure us whatever our ills may be. Satan will try to destroy us. Now, I told you Jesus was truth, and the Word of God can instruct us in His truth. But Satan, his only job is to try to destroy us. He tries to destroy families from serving God. He tries to destroy churches from serving God. Oh, he works in the church now. Oh, he works in the church. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. When the door is open, he marched right in. He came on the coattails of somebody. So when we think about it, in 1 Peter chapter 5, in the verses number 8, the Word of God speaks on this matter, giving us strong advice. It says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. He seeks to destroy our very soul by possessing it, making it lean toward him and lean toward that which is not right. Notice how he's described as a roaring lion. A lion, as most of you know, is a very large cat. Not a house cat, but a cat nevertheless. And the lion has the ability to take the life out of us if he attacks us. Satan does that same thing. He takes his whole purpose is to feast on the weakened state of man. It is the duty of the Christians to be sober. And I don't mean just from drinking. I mean be sober in your everyday thinking. Be sober and be on the lookout for his approach unto us. Stay in the faith. He tried to tempt Jesus, as I told you before, but Jesus knew him better than he knew himself. And he knows us better than we know ourselves. But more importantly than that, Jesus knew the Word of God because he was the Word of God. And he knew how to use it on Satan. But Satan tried Job by taking everything that Job had. But he could not destroy Job. According to 42 and 12 of Job, the Bible says, the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than his beginning. After Satan took everything from him, the Lord blessed Job with more than he had from his beginnings. Isn't God good, church? You ought to say it louder. Isn't God good, church? Thank you. God is good all the time, and all the time God is good. God is one who we can count on to not change. He is ever changing, never changing. Have you counted your blessings lately? Have you just said to God, Lord, I thank you for the blessings that you have given me for this past life that I've lived, for the blessings that you give me in my current life, and for the blessings I hope you give me in my future life. Thank you, Lord. That's all we need to say sometimes. In Luke chapter 22, in the verses number 31, Jesus told Peter Satan had a desire to sift him. In verse number 32, but Jesus said, I have prayed that your faith fail not. You know, you've got to have faith if you're going to battle Satan. You've got to have enough faith to say, Satan, be gone from me. Satan, get behind me. Satan, I got the Lord on my side, and you can't out-battle the Lord, Satan. Do not think that Satan's mission is not to destroy any of us as believers. He's looking for us. You might say there's a bounty out on our heads, if you will, because he wants us. We're the pin that he wants to knock down. We're the part that he doesn't have control of. We're the part. But then I question that too, because some of us are just weak enough that all he has to do is just whisper to us. And then we fall like that pin that he wants to fall. Do not think that his mission is not to destroy us as believers. For this very cause, preachers sometimes become discouraged. And if they're not strong, they may be destroyed. Preachers can be discouraged just like anybody else in the auditorium today. Preachers are not immune because they're on the front line of teaching God's Word. And so he wants to knock down that which opposes him. Members are a target for destruction. Even churches, if allowed to fester with discouragement, can also be destroyed by him. But I thank God for Jesus, who is willing to be our friend. He is a friend who went to the cross for us. Thank God for upon his shoulders, he carried the cross. Thank God for his beaten back. In Psalms 129 in verse 3, thank God for his hands and his feet that were nailed to his cross. Thank God for he died for each and every one of us. He died in our place because we could not. This is why we don't need to give in to Satan, because we have Jesus. He offers us life instead of lies. He offers us encouragement instead of discouragement. He offers us heaven instead of hell. Which one would you choose today, Christ or Satan? Only I can be chosen. Only I can make the choice. For man, the Bible says, man cannot serve two masters. For he will love one and hate the other. Or he will hold to one and despise the other. We cannot serve God and mammon, according to Luke chapter 16. Jesus who died for us. Jesus is the one who died for us. Did Satan die for you? No, he did not. Satan did not die for us. Who built the church and offers us the way to heaven through it? Jesus Christ. Satan, if he had his way, would tear each and every one of us down till we are his. But praise God, the Lord, that Jesus is our hope. The church is our comfort zone here on earth. The church can guide us into heaven. But we must obey the Word of God in order to get there. Now I like how God approached Satan in verse number 7 of Job chapter 1. And the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. Now Satan was everywhere, just like God is everywhere. But you know something? As I told you, the scripture in James says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. But you got to resist him. And some folk have a hard problem resisting him. You know, things can only look so good for a little while before they start to sour and turn deadly for us. And sin can bring us to death. So when I think about it for a little while this morning, I ask the question of you this morning. Who will you choose this morning? Will you choose Jesus with life or Satan with death? Make your choice this morning. For we can't stop him from going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down in it. But look what verse number 8 says. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, does Job fear God for naught? Hast not thou made an hedge about him and about his house and about all that he had on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hand, and his substance is increased in the land. But verse number 11, But put forth thine hand now, and touch all that he hath, he will curse thee to thy face. Sounds like some folk that I know about who will curse God because something didn't go the way that they think it should have went. Oh no, they don't. They may not say every bad word under the sun about him, but they say enough about against him. So when I think about it, I think about Job. I think about Job. I think about the Lord, and I think about Satan. And if I had to choose out of the three, I would choose the Lord. I would choose the Lord because the Lord has so much to offer me. He can offer me and you eternal life. He can offer me and you a good life while we serve Him. Now when we have a good life, I want some of you to understand, and I got another minute or two, but I want you to understand something. A good life on this earth does not mean you're not going to run into troubles. Because matter of fact, you may have more troubles because you're trying to do right. A good life on this earth doesn't mean that you're not going to have problems. Your boss is still going to get on your back from time to time. Your husband or your wife might get on your nerve every so often. Your children might become unruly in a house that you thought was well ruled. But it's not always what you think it is. And when our children begin to grow up, they find different ways and different means of disobeying us. And you know, we give our kids so much today. We give our kids all the, our kids have been raised up on technology. I can't operate all the technology that's out there, but I got a grandson can call me up and tell me everything about it. Our kids came up wearing beepers so that we could reach them, and then they graduated to cell phones. And then they graduated to iPads. And from there they went on into all these different things that go on in the cyber world today. But one thing I want to tell you, let's just hopefully you have not left God out of their lives. Because God is technology. God is the cyber world. God is our everything. And when Jesus said in Matthew 16 and 18, upon this rock I will build my church, he didn't need anybody to look up that. He stated what he wanted to say. I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Oh, didn't he do it, church? Yes, he did. So when you think about it, God is always good. All the time. And when I look at this, I look at the world sometimes and I think how great this world is. Oh, there are evil people in this world that live upon this earth. But I think how great the world is. I can look up into the sky and I can see the blueness of the sky. I didn't paint it, did you? No, you didn't. When I look down, I can see the grass, how green it is. I didn't make it green, did you? When I look at the flowers, I can smell a sweet smell. I didn't add the fragrance, did you? Only God does things like that. That's part of His handiwork. That's why. This is why. We must learn to accept God as our friend and not our foe. Satan is our foe. He's our number one enemy. The Christian must learn that Satan can be a disaster to our lives if we but just let him. But if we resist him, the Bible says he will flee from us. And we've got to be sober and vigilant because he's like a roaring lion. And lions devour people. Lions will never be friends with you. You can get a big cat if you want to and call him a pet, but I guarantee you, at some point he's going to turn against you. But God will never turn against us if we trust in Him. We can turn away from Him or against Him, but God will be with us if we allow Him to. If we just not sin and stay with Him, He will stay with us until the ends of the earth. If you're not a member of the Lord's church, you come by hearing, repenting, believing, confessing, and then being baptized. If you are a member but you walked astray, you need to come forward, ask the Lord to protect and guide you and give you peace in your life. And with this, if this is your desire, we together stand and sing the song of invitation.